Chapter 8 Attitudes and Related Ideas. What are attitudes? From Social Psychology 8th edition 1994, by Taylor, Peplau, and Sayers, the following definition appears in the glossary. Attitude: enduring response disposition with an affective component, a behavioral component and a cognitive component. In the same book on page 169, the difficulty of precisely defining the term is discussed. Although most of us have a sense of what an attitude is, defining it in objective terms has been surprisingly difficult. The definition and general concept of attitudes that follow in this chapter are written in such a way as to circumvent the difficulties with defining the term in a precise way. To do this, the definition is phrased very differently than the definitions that are listed elsewhere. The concept presented in the following paragraphs might be slightly different from the concepts presented in other sources. An attitude is a schema about an entity, which includes emotions, and it tends to motivate and/or inhibit certain behavioral responses. The schema can be thought of as a mental list of ideas about an entity. At least some of the ideas on the list are tied to emotions. The emotions tend to motivate and/or inhibit certain types of behaviors. The word tends means here that the behavioral responses that are motivated or inhibited may or may not occur. That is, when a specific type of behavior is motivated, it may not actually occur because of inhibiting factors. And when certain behavioral responses are inhibited, the inhibited behavior may occur because of stronger motivating factors. The factors can be environmental, such as being forced by authority to behave or not to behave in a certain way. The factors can also be psychological, such as an emotional conflict, which involves conflicting motives. That is, various psychological conflicting motives, social psychological other people, and sociological forces such as the law or social norms can make us go against our attitudes. The term entity in this definition means anything that a person can have an attitude about, such as an object, individual, group, organization, event, etc. There are two basic types of attitudes, positive and negative. Positive attitudes involve positive emotions, which tends to attract the individual toward the entity involved with the attitude, with the aim of a positive or pleasant interaction. This also motivates behavior associated with the entity. Negative attitudes are more or less just the opposite. Negative attitudes are related to negative emotional responses about an entity. Such responses tend to motivate us to either avoid the entity, dispose of the entity, destroy the entity, display aggression toward the entity, or neutralize the undesirable components of the entity. Certain types of emotions can inhibit behavior associated with the entity. Attitudes also vary in strength. Strong attitudes are associated with powerful emotions that tend to motivate and/or inhibit certain behaviors in relation to an entity. That is, strong attitudes are more likely to affect behavior by motivating and/or inhibiting actions. Weak attitudes are essentially the opposite of the above. These attitudes involve emotions that are weak, which means that they have less of a tendency to influence or inhibit behavior. That is, the motivating and/or inhibiting forces associated with weak attitudes do not have much power. The forces are easily overcome by psychological and/or environmental dynamics. An attitude can be thought of as a mental list of ideas about an entity, with emotional responses tied to at least some of the ideas. This definition is actually the same as the above, but it is worded differently. This wording clearly suggests an easy way of representing attitudes on paper. That is, mental lists can be written on paper. The following examples of positive and negative attitudes, which are presented in list form, will clarify the preceding four paragraphs. Note the beliefs and emotions connected to the underlined ideas, in the following four examples, do not automatically follow. That is, the information in parentheses applies to a hypothetical individual. Another individual that has the same ideas as the hypothetical person might have different beliefs and emotions connected to the same ideas. It is important to understand that different people that have a positive attitude toward the same entity do not necessarily have the same ideas in their attitude schema. The same applies to negative attitudes. Thus, the underlined ideas in the following four examples only apply to the hypothetical person. For example, two people can have a positive attitude towards school, but the ideas in their attitude schema about school can be very different. End of note. Example 1. A positive attitude towards school. The following is a positive attitude of a hypothetical person towards school. School is an excellent way to invest time. Connected to this idea is the belief that time spent in school is an investment that will result in a more successful future. School is an interesting and exciting place. Connected to this idea are the emotions associated with interest and excitement. Advanced schooling is necessary for social and financial success. Connected to this idea is the belief that education is needed to succeed in our society. The emotional feelings associated with the possibility of social and financial failure might be connected to this belief. That is, anxiety and worrying over the future would be precipitated in this hypothetical person if he or she did not obtain advanced schooling. School is a friendly and pleasant place. Connected to this idea are pleasant experiences of friendly encounters with students and instructors. In addition, pleasant emotional responses stemming from the positive experiences are also connected to this idea. The work associated with school is extremely rewarding. Pleasant experiences and emotions are connected to this idea. The hypothetical individual associates pleasant rewards with schoolwork, which are the result of successful experiences. Example 2. A negative attitude towards school. A negative attitude about school can be represented with the following list of ideas. School is a waste of time. There might not be any emotions connected to this idea. It is just a belief. School is boring. This is an idea connected to the emotional feelings of boredom. School is totally unnecessary. After the 10th grade, this idea may not have any emotions connected to it. It is just a belief. School is a painful and anxiety-provoking experience. There are a number of emotions tied to this idea, such as anxiety and various types of emotional pain. School is a very unfriendly place. There might be emotions tied to this idea also, such as feelings of rejection caused by failures in school. The work associated with school is extremely unpleasant, non-productive, frustrating, and it leads to nothing but failure. There are some emotions tied to this idea also, such as frustration. Example 3. A positive attitude toward a hypothetical person. A positive attitude about a hypothetical person called John is represented with the following 5 ideas. John is intelligent. There is no emotional responses connected to this idea. John is interesting. There are pleasant emotional responses connected to this idea, which are based on experiences with John. John has a good sense of humor. There are also pleasant emotions tied to this idea based on experiences. John is an individual who deserves respect. There are inhibitory emotional responses tied to this idea, which will inhibit certain behaviors in the presence of John. John is an honest man. This is essentially a fact, but there may be some pleasant emotions tied to this idea. Example 4. A negative attitude toward a hypothetical person. A negative attitude about the hypothetical man called John is presented with the following 5 ideas. John can embarrass people with his sense of humor. There are unpleasant emotional feelings tied to this idea, which is based on experiences with John. John has a moderately bad temper. There also is negative emotions tied to this idea, based on experiences. John can embarrass people with his remarks when he gets angry. Once again, there are unpleasant emotions tied to this idea as a result of experiences. John sometimes belittles people. This idea also has negative emotions connected to it, as a result of past interactions with John. When you are with John, you do not want to upset him because he will belittle you and severely embarrass you in public. There are strong inhibitory emotional factors tied to this idea. These inhibitory factors will prevent the hypothetical individual, with this attitude, from doing and saying many things while he is with John. How do we develop attitudes? Attitudes are learned in the socialization process from childhood throughout life. we learn a set of ideas and related emotional feelings about certain entities. The ideas and related emotions can be positive or negative. For example, a young child learns that squirrels are nice and mice are not. He learns to feed the squirrels and he might also learn how to kill mice. He learns this by watching his parents feed the squirrels, and perhaps listening to his parents talk about the mice problem they have in their house. He might see the parents placing traps and poison for the mice. The above will result in a positive attitude toward squirrels and a negative attitude toward mice. Thus, many attitudes are developed in childhood in a way that is more or less similar to the above. However, many new attitudes are developed during the adolescent years and early 20s, mostly from sources outside of the home. The sources of the attitude developments are the school system, the subculture of the young, groups that young people join, friendship groups, and sometimes the military and job market. In addition, new attitudes might be learned from television, the movies, and various types of printed material. However, we learn many attitudes from experience throughout life. We may have very bad experiences with one type of entity, which can result in a negative attitude toward that entity. Good experiences with an entity can result in the development of a positive attitude. For example, if we do well in mathematics courses, we might develop a very positive attitude toward mathematics. If we do poorly in psychology courses, we might develop a negative attitude toward such courses. A more complicated example is the attitudes we develop toward a new friend. This process involves experiences and what we learn about the person from conversations. For example, if we meet a new friend, the attitude we develop toward him will depend on the experiences we have with him and what we learn about his attitudes and present and past life situation. If we have pleasant experiences with him, and he reveals positive or neutral information about his past, we will most likely develop a positive attitude toward him. However, if our experiences with him are negative and/or we learn very undesirable facts about his past, we will most likely form a negative attitude toward him. What is cognitive consistency? Cognitive consistency is defined in the Glossary of Social Psychology, 8th edition, 1994, by Taylor, Peplau, and Sears as follows. Cognitive consistency: tendency for people to seek consistency among their attitudes. Regarded as a major determinant of attitude formation and change. Cognitive consistency can also be defined as a tendency for people to make their attitudes agree with each other. In this process of adjusting attitudes to produce agreement, there may be attitude change. What is the balance model? The balance model can be explained as follows. Just as we like our attitudes to agree with each other, we like the attitudes of our friends to agree with ours. We tend to like people that have attitudes that are similar to ours. That is, we like when our friends share the same attitudes that we have. For example, if we support new civil rights legislation, we would like our hypothetical friend Susan to have similar views about the legislation. If the views are different, we might decide that Susan is not really a very close friend. Or we might decide she is not a friend at all. We tend not to like people with different attitudes, according to the balance model. Alternatively, we might convince ourselves that she really does have similar views and really does support the new civil rights legislation, which will allow us to keep Susan as a close friend. Another alternative is to reevaluate the new civil rights legislation and decide that Susan is correct. That is, Susan's friend may convince himself that the new legislation is really not good, thus agreeing with Susan, which allows the friendship to continue. A final alternative is to try to change Susan's attitude about the new civil rights legislation by explaining its good points. This will allow the friendship to continue if Susan's attitude is changed to favor the legislation. The balance model can also be applied to the small social groups that we interact with. If we join a new social group and find that the overall attitudes of the group are the same as ours, we may continue to maintain our membership in that group. On the other hand, if we find that the attitudes of most of the group members are very different from ours, we will either quit the group, or we might be persuaded by the socializing dynamics of the group to change our attitudes to agree with the group's. Question: is a balance model an accurate representation of the way people behave in a real-life situation? The model is probably correct under certain psychological, social, and cultural conditions. This is the same as saying that the model fails under certain psychological, social, and cultural conditions. I believe the model will most likely work under the following conditions. If the people with differing attitudes are relatively young people in their early teens to their early 20s, might consider a disagreement in attitudes more seriously. That is, they may argue about a difference in attitude, which may result in breaking up a friendship. Alternatively, they may be influenced by their friends to change their attitudes. Most, but certainly not all, older people over age 24 are usually more mature emotionally, and will probably tolerate attitude differences much better than younger people. They are probably much less likely to continue an argument over an attitude difference. When there is an attitude difference, the older individuals may decide to simply disagree and discuss something else. Thus, people in this age group are probably less likely to break up a relationship over an attitude difference. This is probably especially true if the difference in attitudes have little or no significance to the relationship. If the individuals are emotionally mature individuals, regardless of age, will usually not place an exaggerated significance on attitude differences, which are not important to the relationship. Such individuals are likely to forget insignificant attitude differences. They are not likely to engage in any hostile argumentation over attitude differences. If such arguments come up, they are likely to agree to disagree and thus end the argument. If the attitude difference has no practical significance to the relationship, most people will probably ignore such attitude differences. If the attitude difference does not cause any problems in general, when an attitude difference does not cause any type of problem, including emotional, the attitude difference will probably not affect the relationship to any significant degree in most cases. In such cases, the attitude difference might be ignored. Cognitive dissonance theory. What happens when a person's behavior contradicts his attitudes? That is, what happens if there is a discrepancy between an attitude and behavior, called attitude-discrepant behavior? According to cognitive dissonance theory, dissonance results. Dissonance is an unpleasant internal psychological state of disharmony, which can involve tension, anxiety, and other unpleasant feelings. The individual is thus motivated to reduce the dissonance by some means. The possible ways of reducing dissonance include all of the following. The individual might change his attitudes, so it agrees with his behavior. An example is a person who has a positive attitude toward maintaining his health. If such an individual started to smoke cigarettes when he is with his friends, the resulting dissonance can be reduced if he changes his attitude toward smoking. He might convince himself that cigarette smoking calms the nerves, which is healthy. Of course, such a solution is dysfunctional in this case. The individual could change his behavior so it is consistent with his attitudes. The above example of a cigarette smoker with a positive attitude toward maintaining his health can be used to illustrate this alternative. The health-conscious smoker can simply stop smoking, which will reduce the dissonance. The solution is quite functional in this case. The individual might rationalize his behavior in the special context in which it is performed. For example, the health-conscious cigarette smoker can tell himself that it is a small and necessary sacrifice to smoke when he is with his friends. He might convince himself that smoking is necessary to be sociable with his current circle of friends, and it is worth the small sacrifice in his health. The solution is certainly dysfunctional in this case. The individual might simply try not to think about his attitude and the attitude-discrepant behavior at the same point in time. That is, the individual might try to reduce or prevent dissonance by repression of his thoughts. For example, the health-conscious cigarette smoker might try not to think about the adverse health consequences of his cigarette smoking. In addition, when he is thinking about his health, he may try not to think about his smoking habit. Of course, this is dysfunctional in this case. What happens when a person finds that he has two or more attitudes that contradict each other? Once again, dissonance results. The individual can reduce dissonance by modifying or totally changing his attitudes so they do not contradict each other. Another alternative might be repression of the thinking process, as mentioned above. That is, the individual can try not to think about both of the conflicting attitudes at the same time. Attitude change over time. Attitudes may change over time. The change can be the result of dissidence, discussed above. That is, the adjustments in attitudes to reduce conflict between attitudes and or behavior results in attitude change. Attitude change also results from the socialization process. We often meet people with different attitudes. This can result in a change in our attitudes. The mass media can also change our attitudes over time. In general, the learning process can change attitudes. For example, when many people learned that cigarette smoking was truly a significant health risk, their attitudes about cigarette smoking changed.